This is the NFL Play Football Podcast, and I'm Jeff Fisher of High School Football America. NFL Play Football is the NFL's initiative to provide fun and engaging experience for players of all ages and skill levels. Learn more at playfootball.nfl.com. Heading to the suburbs of Indianapolis, Carmel High School, the Greyhounds, and we're going to talk with former NFL wide receiver, which now makes him an NFL legend since he's retired, and a Super Bowl MVP at that, Coach Deion Branch, the wide receivers and special team coaching. You're laughing there, Coach, so I'm going to ask you the question. How does it sound to be called Coach Deion Branch?
I know the intro is crazy. I never thought that would be, I'll have that title in front of my name for sure. Not saying that I wouldn't want to do it, but because I love doing it with the kids. You know, it makes me feel like I'm a little older, and I hate that feeling. I dislike that. You know, so I always tell the kids and the coaches, especially on the field, you know, it's always Coach Branch. I'm like, yo, behind the coach's back, like, you can call me Deion. It's cool. You know, I'm not going behind the coach's back. It's okay to call me Deion. I don't feel like I've actually earned the right to be called coach. You know, I understand the playing the game as a player, but I haven't done anything to be called a coach. You get what I'm saying? So I truly respect the work that the true coaches have put in besides myself. I just feel like, you know, I'm just an addition. I'm like the icing on the cake.
Well, I know that Coach Hebert there, John's a good friend of ours, and I know he's glad to have you there. And he told me it took a while to get you to get that coach in front of Deion. So what? When did you first think about coaching, and what got you to say yes this time around?
Well, I'll just say, like I said earlier, I don't think it was I never thought I would actually be doing it. And, yes, Coach Hebert had been asking for years. You know, I always go over and train at Carmel High School in the stadium. I'm always running stadium stairs on the track. You know, I'm still living in my glory days from running track and thinking I'm still an actual football player. You know, I still train that way. And plus, my daughter, she runs track, and then my son was playing basketball. So I was always in the area, and it seemed like it was always fitting for me to be running the stadium stairs while the guys were practicing. Mm-hmm. And Coach Hebert would always come over and have a word with me, like, yeah, I need to talk to the kids. I'm like, Coach, I don't think that's what you want me to do. It's something else. Something is going on. So, and I think all the while, that's what it was. He was kind of grooming me to kind of be a part of the program. And you know, last year I kind of started feeling it. I think I felt a certain way after we lost to Ben Davis. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she's a cheerleader. And my daughter was bawling, crying her eyes out after the game. You know, they lost Ben Davis in, I think, the sectionals or some part of the playoffs. And I just felt like, you know what, I really want to go out there and help these guys, because I saw a lot of things that were going on during the course of the game that I knew and I know that I can help with. Now, what happens from that point is one thing. But as far as me, I hated seeing my daughter cry the way she was crying. I felt like she was part of the game herself.
Yeah.
You know, the cheerleaders do feel the effect as well, a loss. And I think that's what did it. Yeah. And then, you know, Coach Heber reached out and said, hey, look, we got an opportunity. If you want to, you know, come on board, let me know. And I was like, Coach, I'm with it. You know, let me know what I need to do. He said, you don't need to do anything. Just show up this day and we're good to go. And that's what it was.
I love it. And you know what? I think we're going to nominate you for Dad of the Year. You see your daughter cry and you go, oh, come on, man. That's somewhere up there. But anyway, hey, we all know that, you know, every coach is usually a mashup of other coaches, right? Football's all about borrowing. There's no original play anymore. There's no original offense or defensive scheme and all that. So my question is, which coaches along the way, whether it's been at the youth level or up at the league level, have made an impact on you, and maybe you integrate them a little bit now as you are Coach Deion Branch?
Yeah. You know, I know. I always look back, and I always think of every level that I played on as far as competing in football. I think all my coaches had a certain intricate part of my upbringing, the man that I am, the player that I am and that I was. You know, for my high school coaches, Coach Chun and Coach Bradley, Coach Camp, Coach Relaford, all those guys, I still stay in contact with those gentlemen. And I feel like they were a major part of it, especially growing up in the beginning in high school. My junior college coach, Coach Parker Dykes, Coach Smith, those guys were amazing. Coach Parker, who was at my junior college as well. And from there, went to U of L, you know, Coach John L. Smith. He was a major part of my life. You know, that was when I really started understanding, you know, how to be a to be accountable for all my actions. You know, I did some things at the university, and that it could have just, it really could have been a situation where there's no Deion Branch. Nobody would have ever known. But that, you know, that institution stuck by my side, Coach Smith, my athletic director, Mr. Jurich, those guys sat me down. We had a great conversation, and it kind of changed the landscape of things for myself, changed my course that I was on, the path that I was on for the greater good, you know. And then from there, leaving, going to the NFL, being up under Coach Belichick, just really seeing what and understanding the game of football, how to be accountable to yourself and to your teammates, those things, and a constant 8 years with Coach Belichick, I promise you, anybody and everybody will learn everything about the game of football and about the respect that you should have for yourself and for your teammates. If you didn't know it before you met him, you would know it by the time you leave him. You know, having the opportunity to go to Seattle with Coach Holmgren, it was just so much. You know, that was more the offensive side of things, understanding the details of the game, in which I was already aligned with it in New England with Coach Belichick, but Coach Holmgren also solidified it. Just being blessed and having the opportunity to play for two legendary head coaches.
Yeah,
you know, and that was a thing.
No doubt about it. How did you know? We were all stupid teenagers, right? Once being coached, and you know, we're thinking we know more than the coaches in that. So this question would be, how do you think your thoughts on how the coaching profession has changed since you were a player? And I'm going to try this right, because where I'm from up north, it's Albany, but I've spent some time in Albany or Albany.
It's really
go ahead.
Benny. It's the Benny. But it's Albany. Yes, it's Albany, but you know, we say the Benny.
The Benny. Well, I'm not that cool, but anyway, how have your thoughts changed since you
got it?
How have your thoughts changed though in the coaching profession since you were that teenager going, "Oh, I know it all," and now you're trying to talk to those teenagers?
Oh yeah, for sure. Me personally, and this is just my opinion. I think now that you have more guys who are trying to go back. They're trying, but and whether it be on high school level, the collegiate level, or the professional level, I think it's more vital and more important if you can get more guys to go back on the fundamental side of things and go back when it's in the Puffs League. That is pretty much where it starts, you know. And I think we have some great men who are helping with that level of football, but not enough guys who have played on a collegiate or professional level to go back and actually be a part of that youth football, because that's where it all starts. That's the foundation. You get what I'm saying? If we can get a hold of the kids before they get to high school, before they get to college, then things will look totally different for a lot of the youngsters. You know, teaching them the basic fundamentals of the game, that's the most important part. You know, once you get the foundation, you can kind of start adding things to it and taking bad things away from their game. But I think as far as on the landscape, as far as the players that's going back coaching, you can see that on the high school level, which is amazing. It's great. On the collegiate level, I think there's still some work to be done there. We're not having enough professionals given the opportunity to coach on a collegiate level. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
I get it.
So I think that maybe there's a gap there. I truly feel there's a major gap there, because I know there's so many youngsters, so many guys, professionals, who really want to go back and give to their institutions or coach on a collegiate level, but not given the true opportunity for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see way more on a professional level, but you're not seeing it on a collegiate level. That may be the only thing that I say there's a major gap there.
Makes sense.
But you see a lot on the high school level.
Yeah, I
like
love
it. Like I said,
it.
That's just my opinion. You know, give or take, it, you know, others may see it totally different. But from what I've seen, That's just my opinion.
No, that's why I love doing these interviews, because you get those different perspectives that make a lot of sense. Deion Branch, Coach Deion Branch, to everybody else out there right now. We can call him Deion, he told me. But so now, you know, U of L, you go back, your first game as a coach is against, you know, Kentucky Power, Louisville Power, Trinity.
Yep.
And you beat them on their own home turf. So a good 1-0 start, considering we know why you got into coaching, right? Your daughter was crying, so you get that win. How big a deal was that for you to do it in that town?
That was a big deal. And, you know, like you said, Trinity is a prestigious high school. You know, these guys, they're bred to be champions each and every year. You know, but for our kids to understand the situation and knowing that we haven't beat Trinity in Louisville, we've never won that. Let me just say, we haven't. We've never won that. So I think that was a big deal. Not only, you know, like speaking for myself, that was mainly for the kids, like to know and to see and to understand all the hard work that we put in throughout the off season. It was for to kickstart the season off this way. It was a must. We had to go and win that game. It was just something that was embedded in us. Like, this is a must win, you know, to shake the cobwebs. But for myself personally, man, I was just super happy that the kids bought into everything that we had done throughout the off-season program, leading to training camp, and then they went out and did it. They executed the plays the way that we taught them, and they came out victorious. You know, so it really wasn't a lot of stuff that we did as coaches. These guys just went out and executed the plays, and they got the job done, you know. And I was super proud for the guys. I had a couple friends, and my wife and kids were in the stands, so that was a great thing. Then that was the first game back in Louisville. So all of that was amazing. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. But, you know, like how Bill said, there's only one game. Now it's time to move on to the next game. So I carry those things that I was taught by Coach Belichick. Let's not rave about it.
Yeah.
It was a big win for us. We took care of business. Now it's on to the next game.
Now, you know, in the world of fake news these days, right, I think I read in one of the newspapers, you said you were nervous. Now, I'm having trouble believing that. So is it true and why?
Now, what I was saying, they was asking me, are you more nervous? They was asking me, were you nervous about the game? I'm like, no, I'm not nervous about the game. I'm more nervous coaching the kids versus when I was playing.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, yep. I always felt like I can kind of help control the outcome of the game while I was playing. So I was more relaxed, and this is my environment. Like, this is a total new environment where here I am just only coaching a kid. I got to be able to give these kids the best advice, give them everything I possibly can, and hope that they can go out and do everything exactly the way that we taught them and for them to do it. This is totally out of my control. You get what I'm saying? I can't dictate the outcome of the game. The kids are going to do that.
A couple more questions. I'll let you here. And you sort of touched on this a little bit earlier, but you said, you know, how football helped you, right? And these coaches helped you.
Yes.
So how has the sport helped you as a person, which I think you touched on, but also as a father and a husband?
Yeah. Just overall, the accountability is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding who you are. And my biggest thing when I speak to the kids nowadays is, like, as far as helping me, just you have to have a reason why you're doing this. I think once you know why you're doing it, it actually helps ease everything else around you. And I think my reason for my why was my family, has always been my family. Whether it be when I was a kid in high school, is just me personally, just knowing that I got to figure out how to help get my mom and my dad and my sisters out of this situation, because I felt like, you know what, I can do this for my family. Mm. And as I got older and got into college, had my twin boys, the why, it was more obligations on my why. Now I add my two boys to my mom, dad, my sisters, you know, then my wife and I, we get married now. And then she and I have two daughters, you know, so my reason why is the most important thing for myself. And you know, with all that entail comes with being accountable, you know, to yourself, not only to myself, but now to my family, to my teammates, you know. So I think those things help every young man. Once you know the reason why you're doing this, it'll help ease everything else around you.
Yeah. You just helped me out a little bit there. I didn't think of the way you put that, because now I'm thinking, why is a living, breathing thing, right? There's a yes, why, sir. But it's always living and breathing. That's kind of cool. Yes, so sir. Two more now. Yeah. So Dion Branch on the line, folks. Know your foundation is very important to you. Can you talk about your thoughts on giving back?
Yes, sir. Always. I mean, that's been the one thing that's near and dear to me. You know, a lot of guys, and my props go to every gentleman. I think we all should have something that we're giving back to, some charitable cause, you know, and I, regardless of what it is. Myself, I had something that was near and dear to me. My son, DeAndre, was diagnosed with viral meningitis. Mm-hmm. There's two different phases, viral and bacteria. Bacteria kills you instantly. My kid was diagnosed with viral. You know, just shorten the story, because we can talk for months about this situation. And I really don't want to kind of break down. I kind of get a little touchy about it, but he was only given 6 months to live. He's 20 years old. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing ever.
Beautiful.
You know, 70% of his brain is damaged. The virus kind of, left him in that state, where he's in a nursing home right now. And I can't do enough. His mom and I can't do enough for the Home of the Innocents, the nursing home that he's in, for, we can't thank them enough.
Yeah.
For the amount of love, the caring, that the nurturing that they do for my son, and also plenty other family kids that are in that nursing home. They're just amazing people. It's the Home of the Innocents in Louisville, Kentucky. They're amazing. And that's where my son resides now. He's about to actually be transferred out, because he'll be 21 in April. And it's such a blessing, but that's when I started the foundation back in 2004 to help ease the burden for those families who are going through the same similar situations, to make this situation aware that it's a serious virus. It's very deadly, like I spoke about earlier. If you contract the bacteria meningitis, it will kill you instantly. And there's plenty of moms who are not aware, and this is something that a kid contracts coming down the vaginal tube upon giving birth, you know, so... They, you know, these moms have to go and get checked and actually get these shots. And there are so many different things that they need, that they have to do and should do beforehand, you know, before giving birth to their kids. And, and it's just making the ladies aware if they're not aware of it. And but that was the case with DeAndre. And that's why I started the foundation, just for me to help give back. You know, like my mom, my grandmother always said, it's not about you. It's always about helping others. Everything that you have is from someone else anyway. Everything that you have in your life, everything that I have, was blessed upon me from my grandmother, my grandfather, my mom, and my dad. So you have to give back to someone else as well. And I think that's my doing.
Wow. And prayers to DeAndre and you and your family, and congratulations on being able to have that platform where you can make these conversations and people can hear it and understand and educate. It's that ever living and breathing why, right? Dion Branch us. And I'm going to, one last question. I got to ask this now, since you're Dion, but to me, you're Coach Dion and all that. So now that you got that coach in front of there, you're not really taking it real, you know, you haven't grabbed hold yet, but are there any future coaching goals now that you've done this for, well, I guess you're three games into it.
I'm three games in. This will be my fourth game tomorrow. And then, honestly, there could be. There could be. And, you know, like I said, going into it, I never foreseen myself being a coach. I always kind of thought that I'd be somewhere. You know, I'm pretty smooth and cool doing broadcasting, TV, you know, but I'm just trying to stay a little close-knit to home with the family. Get my son, and they graduated from high school. Now it's my daughters. Just want to just try my best to be in their life as much as possible, you know, because I feel like I gave the NFL 12 years of my life. My kids were kind of on the back seat, but you know, you got to give up something in order to get something. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to give up a portion of my life. You know, my wife did a great job of holding it down for the kids while I was off playing football, and technically it's just like having fun, really. But she did an amazing job taking care of the family, taking care of the kids, making sure everything was taken care of. Now I think it's my time now to kind of help ease her burden and allow her to kind of like free fall a little bit and enjoy life, and not put everything on me with the kids. But and coaching right now kind of allows that a little bit. But if I push it a little further with college or the NFL, then I'll find myself back in that same bubble.
Good point. Yep.
To answer your question, I can see it, but I'm just trying my best to kind of hold off a little bit longer to kind of get the kids through school, you know. But the funny part is my kids have already gave me the blessing, like, Dad, go ahead, you can coach, we're fine. We're fine. You can go coach wherever you want to coach at.
They're coaching you.
I'm like, I'm coaching, yeah. You know, one daughter runs track, so I can help on, you know, I'm helping her with the track. My other daughter's in gymnastics. I can't help her with at all with that. So it's all mental, the mental coaching I can give her. I can't do anything for her as far as gymnastics. And then, you know, my daughter that runs track, she's a cheerleader as well. And her father cannot help her with that either. I will not have a pom-pom in my hand. I'm sorry. So you all can do all that. But in the meantime, I'm trying to kind of hold back a little bit. I think every opportunity that presents itself, I will run it by my family first. And with their blessings, if it comes about, maybe college, on the collegiate level, sorry.
Well, there's holes there. You told me there's holes, so why not, right?
Yeah, they're there. It's there. Yeah, like I said, if the opportunity presents itself and if the family give me their blessings, I can see myself doing it. I can see myself coaching and giving back to these kids. Yes, I love it. I'm having a lot of fun right now at Carmel High School.
The ever-changing why for Coach Branch, a.k.a. Dion,
yes,
to the young men these days. Coach, thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it. You had some great nuggets in there. And thank you for giving back. It's very, very important. We appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yes, sir. I thank you all for the opportunity. Thank you.
And that's the NFL Play Football Podcast, the NFL's initiative to provide fun and engaging experience for players of all ages and skill levels. And coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. I'm Jeff Fisher of High School Football America, and you've been listening to the Play Football Podcast.